Well, New Year greetings to all of Turdville. It is New Year's Eve 2014, and as we wrap up this year and flip the calendar to 2015, I thought, what better time to check in with our good friend, the golden jackass himself, Jim Willie. It is a holiday, as you know. Markets are closed on New Year's Day, and we do have this holiday tradition of bringing in the jackass anyway. So all of the planets and stars aligned, and here we are. Jim, say hello to everybody to make sure you're coming through loud and clear.
Oh, I'm here. It's good to be back on. We have another holiday, and I can assure you, in Costa Rica, for the expat Americans, it is a weird time always because, you know, without family, it's just a very weird time. Time for projects and bowl games for football and, you know, going to the gymnasium and, you know, looking for an American friend who's not gone.
Who's actually down there at this time of year.
Yeah, because all the lady friends are gone. Every one of them are gone.
Well, and for those of you that don't know, Jim is the proprietor of GoldenJackass.com. And if you go there, you obviously see the link here on this podcast page. You can subscribe, and I would strongly encourage you to subscribe to his subscription service called the Hat Trick Letter. We'll talk more about that as we wrap up this call. But, Jim, I want to dive right in. We've had several significant events, kind of unforeseen, I guess, if you will, take place in 2014. So as we wrap this year and head into 15, let's start first with a couple of things, significant things that happened. One, yours truly here was adamantly on record saying, oh, they can't stop QE, QE will never end, that kind of thing. And at least from the overt standpoint, it appears that they have. Now, what yours truly was right about was that interest rates, though, did not go up. Interest rates have gone down significantly in 2014, and you have been all over that, my friend. You spoke about that being really a problem for the whole world, a Tower of Babel of Treasury bonds is what you have first called it a couple of years back. And so here we are. Overt QE has ended here in late 2014. What do you think about what we've seen this year and how it relates to next year?
Oh, that's way too big a question. I thought you were
going to ask about QE. Well, I suppose
respond about QE.
All right, let's just say QE ended and interest rates have continued to go down. Is that the trend we're going to continue to see next year?
Yeah, I think so. And what we have is these twin towers of the dollar and the treasury bonds. They're toxic. You know, when I talked to people who weren't very experienced, I said, well, you know, the whole world is dealing with the toxic dollar now. They said, what are you talking about? The dollar's strong. I said, no, the dollar is toxic because we're printing somewhere like, you know, minimum of $30 billion a month and maybe as much as $200 or $300 billion a month. We're covering the U.S. government debt. This is toxic. This is what third world nations do. So you've got these twin towers of toxic money and bonds, and they're leaking. So the whole world is damaged. They talk about QE ending, but gosh, the same week, was it early November or late October? They talked about ending QE, and then the next thing you know, the Bank of Japan announced unlimited QE. Right. I don't know that we covered that at Thanksgiving. I think we probably did.
Yes.
Okay, we did. So, all right, that's your indication that QE did not end. It just changed offices.
Right.
So we've stolen or commandeered or seized, choose your word, the Japanese $1.2 trillion pension fund. And back then I forecasted that we would see an East Asian currency war. And we're starting to see that now with a lot of bitching and moaning back and forth among the powerhouse nations of China, Korea, and Japan. The Japanese are doing something clever. This is not exactly what I expect them to do. They're dropping their prices so they don't have such a big impact on their neighbor competitors. It's complicated. It's complicated. Very complicated. I don't have it all sorted out. I don't claim to. But the Japanese are reducing their revenue stream. with some price adjustments that were not anticipated, and it might actually soften some of the blow and lessen some of the need for the currency war, but they can't avoid the currency war because the Japanese yen is not done going down.
Right, exactly. Now,
you make the statement that the Treasury bond yield is going to go down, and that could very well be, but it's not a sign of, say, strength in the dollar. It's a sign of complete collapse of the U.S. economy. I don't believe for a minute some of these Q3 growth stories. I mean, make me laugh. Come on.
Right.
We have a saying in the statistics world, the sum of the parts must reflect its components. So you've got all these different companies, retail chains and companies like Cisco announcing layoffs in the networking world, Sears in trouble, Walmart in trouble. All these major companies are going down, yet the economy is rising. I don't buy it for a minute. What you've got is an acceleration in the GDP, the gross domestic product, the size of the U.S. economy, an acceleration downward for, 4 consecutive years. It was like a -4 or -5% recession. I'm talking about a 20% reduction in the U.S. economy. Yes, yes. That's what a depression does. We fixed nothing at Lehman, nothing. So we've got this Tower of Babel, and we've got this huge torrent of money. And what's the big clash in statistics? This is something I follow, and I follow it very closely, religiously. We've got this fourfold rise in the money supply. We've got this four times greater balance sheet at the Fed.
Right.
They're the holder of last resort for these toxic treasury bonds, so they're wrecked. And that's why they sold it, controlling interest to China. So here's the mix, the clash. The money supply is up fourfold, but the money velocity is down 50% since 2007.
Right.
50%. You'd never see that during growth times. Never. In fact, if it drops 10 or 20%, it's called on the edge of a depression. So what is it if it's down 50%? It's a full-blown multi-year recession. That's what we're dealing with. So here's the consequence to, you know, the currency world, which I include gold in. If you've got this fourfold increase in the money supply and the central bank holdings of the toxic U.S. government debt, the propaganda comes out, well, there's not enough gold to cover all this money. We can't go to a gold standard. To which I say, that's a bunch of BS and horse pucky. Because you increase the gold price 4 or 5-fold, and you're up to 5,000. You're up to 6,000. And with any kind of an attempt toward equilibrium, you move quickly to 7,000 and 8,000 gold price to compensate for the 4-fold increase in the dollar money supply. Now, that's the kind of thinking Wall Street doesn't want to hear. That's the kind of rationale you will not see in the Western press led by New York and London. But the Tower of Babel has grown. And to reflect that, you must have the cantilever. That's not the correct word. You must have the – it's like a teeter-totter.
Right, right.
You push one up, the other goes down. Well, the one going down is the treasury bond yield. You got too much money chasing treasury bonds. And here's the funny part about these treasury bonds. They're not in a rally. They've got derivatives chasing them. All right, you start with the free money. You shove it into the short-term treasury bills. Fine. You got this free money you draw as short-term treasury bill. You put it into the big machinery, and out pops this huge demand for long-term treasury bonds. So moral of the story, it's artificial demand for the treasury bonds, and furthermore, they will never stop the 0% because it feeds the system for creating the artificial treasury bond long-term demand. This is game over, folks.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to see a 4 or 5-fold rise in the gold price. You know, I'd like to just draw right into Ukraine. Well, I got a quick story.
I want to ask you one more question about QE. You know, there's a lot of talk that in January the baton is going to be passed to the ECB. And that, you know, there was this announcement out of the Swiss National Bank a few weeks ago that they are instituting a negative interest rate policy on the very same day that the next ECB meeting is supposed to be held. You know, there was this announcement a couple of weeks ago that the Swiss National Bank is moving toward a negative interest rate policy. Yes. And that they are going to institute that on the very same day of that the next ECB meeting is going to be held in January, which is kind of foreshadowing that perhaps they know that ECB QE is going to start in January. And does that appear? Is that something you've thought about? Is that, you know, does that just kind of just more money printing worldwide while the Fed takes a breather?
Well, I don't think the Fed took a breather. The Fed is just lying more. Do you think for a minute the Fed has stopped covering all the failed derivatives that
lost
maybe $200 billion a month? I don't think they stopped for a minute. What they're doing is they're stopping the overt covering of the U.S. government debt.
Right.
They're asking Japan to cover it. Now you've got the Swiss are in a unique bind. They've been trying to maintain – see if I can get the flow here, the logical flow – the Swiss, since the middle of 2011, maybe it was September of 11, have been maintaining a 120 peg.
Yep, that's what it was.
The euro is valued at 120 versus the Swiss franc. Now, imagine all the money seeking safety from all the pigs' sovereign debt problems. It's far more than Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain. It's far more than that. It's money out of France and Belgium that's worried. It could even be German money that's worried. It could be a number of other nations that are also worried. So the money is seeking the Swiss hills, and all this demand for the Swiss franc suddenly jettisoned upward the Swiss franc. So what the Swiss National Bank has done, their central bank, has been printing money and buying euros in order to maintain the balance. And that is about to break. And you know, you might have a simultaneous event of the Swiss printing a bunch of money or let's say announcing or admitting that they're printing a bunch of money. But I took a look a few months ago at the Swiss National Bank portfolio, and it's overloaded with euros, and it's going to break. Some thought that the Swiss referendum was going to break the 120 peg and force a nice big 20 to 40% rise in the Swiss franc and do a massive hot poker up its economy's ass. They are a diverse economy in Switzerland. They're a lot more than chocolate and wristwatches. They're pharmaceuticals and a lot of industry, including refining gold. So if the Swiss franc rises over 20% suddenly, they got a big economic problem. All right, back to your point. Yes, the Swiss are printing money and never stopped. They're trying to maintain the peg. They never stopped.
Right.
3 years at it. The Euro Central Bank is, I think, the big focal point right now because this depends somewhat on whether Prince Draghi remains at the post. There's a lot of talk. And more than just rumors that he's feeling out the position in Italy for prime minister.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm hearing. And also Zero Hedge reported that about a month ago.
A lot of better looking women down there in Italy than there are up in Brussels, I suppose.
Well, he's in Frankfurt.
Sorry. Oh, he's in Frankfurt. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's okay. Well, hey, same point, right?
I don't know. I don't know what he's up to in that department, but I'll tell you what the conflict is. You've got in the same country two central banks. The multinational central bank, the Euro Central Bank, with the headquarters in Frankfurt, but with close ties, I admit, to Brussels, where the European commissioners reside. And that's where also the Belgian bulge is of the treasury bonds,
right,
that I believe mostly Chinese, to source the BRICS gold central bank. The conflict is between the Bundesbank, I think his name is Wiedermann, and the Draghi at the Euro Central Bank, the ECB. I like calling it the Euro Central Bank, the Euro CB.
Right.
Because you got the EMU, the European Monetary Union, which is the common euro currency system.
Right.
And there's the EU, which is the European Union, their political union, like United States of Europe, if you will, which the United States has now exploited in order to make the presidents of individual EU nations report to the NATO Supreme Commander. We have captured the European nations, and they're about to resist. All right, back to the conflict. The EuroCB and the Bundesbank, German Central Bank, are in a gigantic conflict.
Right.
The Germans have told Draghi, no way, no way will you print money and cover assets, including sovereign debt. No way. Translate that. If you do that, Draghi, we're leaving the euro.
No way. Exactly. What part of no way do you not understand?
Oh, it's been going on for 6, 7, 8 months. A war of words.
Right.
The German High Court declaring the impending action as illegal and past action as illegal. They've got, I think it's called the, finance something. A financing facility by the Euro Central Bank was declared illegal and unlawful because what it did was it said, we're making these super senior debt.
Right. Well, it looks like you might have cut out again real quick, Jim. I'm going to just keep talking for a second because I think I've lost. Oh, you're back. You're back.
Oh, shoot.
Well, no, that's all right. I want to pick up the thought there, because you have been at the forefront, and subscribers of the Hat Trick Letter know this, talking about an eventual division of the euro into a northern and a southern euro, a Nordic euro, if you will. We'll talk about how the conflict in Ukraine might play into that in a second. But as you mentioned, the Germans do not want to see ECB QE, but it appears that it may be coming. And at the same time, I'll throw this in there, Jim, you've got these northern European countries that are lining up to repatriate their gold. Do you see, are there some dots to be connected there, perhaps, my friend? Are we getting closer to that breakup?
I pointed out the four-point indictment of Germany to leave the euro. They don't like the NSA spying.
Yep.
Espionage. It's hardly eavesdropping, it's spying. They don't like the Russian sanctions.
Right.
They don't like the absence of return repatriated gold.
Yeah.
And they don't like the European Central Bank printing money to cover sovereign debt, which will weaken the euro and bring about something that these economists do not want to talk about, but the jackass does very capably. And that is, if you print money as a central bank, and you print a lot of it, and you do it for a couple of years or more, as we have, you kill capital. You raise the cost structure. You force hedging into the hard assets, which raises the cost structure. And with the Chinese running around industrializing with their renaissance, you cannot raise your product prices. You cannot raise your wages. You just get a higher cost structure, and you lose your profit margin, and you lose your capital at work. You retire your capital. That's what the Germans do not want to see, and they don't talk about it in those terms. I do. The Germans do not want Draghi to print money, because the High Court in Germany has declared illegal their special super senior bonds that were done a year ago. And they have a four-letter acronym. It was, something transaction facility, OL, long-term, I don't know.
Litro.
Liquidity transaction facility.
LTRO, yep.
I don't know what it means, but I believe you're right. LTRO. The German High Court declared it illegal. They could not, by decree at the Euro Central Bank in Frankfurt, declare that it was higher in seniority, which means if something goes bust, the shit trickles downhill on seniority.
Right.
They could not make a new bond that was higher in seniority than the German government bond, than the French government bond, than the French government bond, than the Italian government bond, than the Spanish government bond. No, you can't just declare this. It has to come about through the legal processes rather than decree from Prince Draghi, the Goldman Sachs piece of garbage that's running the Euro Central Bank. So Germany is at odds. You have a war going on now between the Bundesbank and the Euro Central Bank, and they have pretty much said no way. If they, I translated and come up with a very simple conclusion. If they go ahead with QE at the Euro Central Bank under Draghi, then the Germans are going to make faster movements to abandon the euro. And you've got, tie this in with your point, you've got Austria, Germany, and Netherlands all demanding their gold back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you point out a little bit more accurately, you see that 2 or 3 years ago, things were set in motion, and the U.S. obstructed their activity and refused to give their gold and finally have given back their gold. It's not clear where the gold originated from. My guess, it was stolen Arab gold that was given to the Dutch. This is a very big theme coming up. But all these different central banks are printing money with abandon. And what's going to be abandoned in response is the dollar as the trade settlement device, vehicle, medium. If the Russians and the Europeans buy and sell natural gas, it's not going to be in the dollar.
Right, right. Well, we're headed that direction, it seems. I mean, the other big story of 2014 that will linger into 2015 is the, we'll call it the crisis of Ukraine, which is was a U.S.-sponsored coup, if you will, of the elected president of Ukraine back in February. And this has been really rolling downhill ever since. Of course, we've got the overt sanctions against a handful of Russian oligarchs, which was pretty silly. But then we've got the covert sanctions of crushing the price of crude oil back from 108 down to today's 52, more than 50%. This is having tremendous negative impact on the Russian economy and on the ruble. And they're obviously not taking this lying down. And as you mentioned, their trading partners in Western Europe, they're not too keen on all of this either. And it sure seems like what was a traditional American style, you know, we're going to punish the Russians and create a boogeyman out of them, is all setting up to backfire on them. The Russians they just tested and set up their own alternative to SWIFT a couple days ago, right, Jim? All of this is coming together in 15. I would imagine you see this the same way. This Ukraine crisis is driving all kinds of petrodollar issues and BRIC, gold, potential gold back, non-dollar back settlement issues. Where do you see, I know that's a broad question, but I would imagine you see this as a big issue in 2015.
I do. I remember back in Thanksgiving, a little over a month ago, we disagreed on whether the U.S. was driving down the oil price, and I still disagree with that point.
That's fine.
And I also disagree that the Russian economy is in tatters. If you want to understand what's going on in the Russian economy, what you do not do is read the Western press.
Well, that's for sure.
Okay, well, let's carry this a step further. How would it be instead if you go by some contacts who are in Russia and make on-the-ground reports?
That's a novel idea.
I rely on. I don't turn to Bloomberg and Reuters to find out how the Russian economy is being crippled by a lower oil price and a lower ruble. Well, I got news for you. You raise the dollar, pardon me, and you lower the oil price relative to the ruble, that is. The ruble goes down, and the oil price goes down. Well, I got news for you. No change. No change in the oil price in ruble terms. No change. Can anybody hear me? Yeah. No change.
That's an excellent point. You don't hear, they don't read that on Bloomberg, do you?
No, you don't. Okay, furthermore, I asked my contact who has a son in Moscow, ask him directly how the import prices are affected, because you would expect a change. And here's where it gets surprising. The report came back in a couple days. The import prices have these sudden moves up of 8 to 10, 12%, but then in the following 2 weeks, they go right back down. So, does that mean that the Russians are cleverly managing their reserves with 160 down to 130 billion in treasury bonds to manage the foreign imports that they pay for with dollars?
It would appear to be that way.
So the Russians have no change in their oil revenues in ruble terms, while they use dollars to assure the imports and manage to handle the price structure on the imports so that they're just these little speed bumps. Now, I ask you, which economy is in tatters, the Russian or the U.S.?
Well, that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. And my phrasing of that question, you're right, it was incorrect. It was kind of relying upon the Western or the U.S. spin of the story.
And let me interrupt you there and
That
Russia is not in tatters. Putin is sitting right next to a kill switch.
Yes.
The kill switch would be to require, if he chose, all Russian exports of energy and metals to be paid either in rubles or yuan, RMB, or he could do something that he's already indicated. All major forex currencies that are being used to pay for Russian exports are immediately converted to gold. So the Russian economy is neither in tatters, nor is it on the verge of falling. Instead, they're converting all kinds of foreign revenue into gold. And what does the U.S. press report? That they're spending over in the Kremlin their hard-earned gold to manage the ruble crisis, when it's the exact opposite.
The exact opposite.
They're taking all the foreign major currencies and buying gold. Russia's not weak. They got over 25,000 tons of gold. And no external debt. So what does the U.S. have? No gold, not much industry, and $18 trillion worth of government debt. About 55 or 60% of it is foreign held. Which country is weak? Sorry, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, which country is more dangerous? Jim, as this relates then to the death of the dollar and the acceleration of the dollar alternative system, it does seem, as we've thought all along, I mean, this is going to backfire. The arrogant, Americentric ways of the West and of the American leadership thinking that, oh, we got it under control. Everything's the same as it's always been. It doesn't appear to be that way, and it does appear that we are instead speeding up the de-dollarization process. Is that how you see this as well?
Exactly, and that's going to be the big acceleration trend in 2015. It already saw significant progress. I call it progress because that's a judgmental word. It means good. It implies good.
Yeah.
And again, the faster the world can get away from the dollar, the more likely it is we get some kind of a global improvement. If we stick with the dollar, we're going to get global recession and global depression, followed by this NWO global fascist state.
In World War III.
Well, no, we're not going to get any World War III.
Well, but, you know, I say that, Jim, not as an alarmist. I just say it as transitions from one currency regime to another, which they've all failed and moved on. We moved from the pound sterling to the dollar. Usually that transition is accompanied by some type of global crisis, conflagration. That's why I say that.
I just don't buy the argument. We heard the stupid shit arguments about Iran going to war. Yeah. I heard it in 07, 08, 09, 10, yeah. 11, 12, 13. We're not going to get it.
Yeah.
In 10 months of a Ukraine war, we have not had any escalation. In fact, we're having moves toward the opposite direction. Now we've got finance ministers and foreign ministers across Europe from the member nations of the EU saying these Russian sanctions are not a good idea.
Right.
We've got a Minsk ceasefire accord that the United States violated. We violated all our treaties, including the NATO treaties of the 1990s, putting offensive missiles, ballistic missiles, on the borders of Russia in the NATO annexed nations. We violate all our treaties, going back to the American Indians in the 19th century. All our treaties are violated. We, the United States, are the rogue nation. We are the perpetrator of toxic money and spreading it around to the point that we're killing the global capital. So we've got all these major, major trends. I mean, it's atrocious what's happening. Ukraine is not going to escalate. There's only one thing that I'm really worried about, and that's a nuclear accident like Chernobyl.
Well, you know, there's some worries about that at present in Ukraine.
Yes, that's one of my current worries, because I've long thought that the objective for Ukraine was to create scorched earth and cut off umbilical for the pipelines. And, you know, I give Putin a lot of credit. I don't say Putin is my hero. I say Putin is our hope to get rid of the dollar. Putin and China, President Xi, it's like, you know, he, she, it. XI is pronounced Xi. President Xi of China is teaming up with Putin. And they're our hope for getting rid of the dollar without a conflagration of world war.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get any nuclear exchanges. I don't think it can happen. I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it can happen. We're going to get the South Stream. Instead of going through Bulgaria and Hungary, it looks like it's going to go through Turkey, or it's a ploy, a chess move gambit by the master to get all these Eastern European nations to discard Hillary and Biden and McCain so they can do something sensible for their country. Putin has done another death stroke. Very clever stroke. I love the word deft, D-E-F-T. Very clever stroke. He said he's not going to supply natural gas to any country that has hidden CIA torture center prisons. Wow. How's a parliament going to vote against that in Europe?
Yeah.
Okay, he's doing these brilliant strokes. He's courted Turkey, converting the South Stream gas pipeline to the Turk Stream. Turkey, I think, is going to abandon the NATO. They're going to just say, we're tired of you idiots. You do nothing but wage war and wreck economies and steal from banks. This is what fascists do. It's part of the climax of the fascist business model that was installed after 9/11. This is what fascists do. They wreck economies, do bond fraud, steal central bank gold, and wage war. These are fascists. They haven't changed. World War II did not defeat them. The United States invited them, called Operation Paperclip. They took over the banks, and they took over later Goldman Sachs and the Treasury Department of the U.S. government. They conducted 9/11. They stole $100 billion in gold bullion from the World Trade Center. They stole $100 billion in bearer bonds from the World Trade Center. They stole $100 billion from diamonds at the World Trade Center. Wake up, people. It was a bank robbery. I am absolutely amused by the incredible ignorance of most of the American public. The largest non-central bank bank center in the world in September of 2011 was the World Trade Center. It was a bank, not a tourist site.
Okay, so Jim, what I see here, if we can kind of connect all these dots that we've been discussing, because we've got a number of things that are hanging out there. The U.S.-sponsored coup in Ukraine almost seems like the catalyst to all of this. The Germans do not want ECB QE, but apparently it is coming at the demands probably of the Fed. And so that is driving the Germans out of the EU and the ECB, just like you've been suggesting for years, with a northern euro and a southern euro. You've got the other northern euro countries that are in a rush to repatriate their gold at the same time. Those northern euro countries are the ones that are the best trading partners for Russia in Europe, as they are dependent upon Russian energy, Russian natural gas. The Russians have been driven out of and attempted to be marginalized by, as you say, the fascist U.S. They've set up their own alternative, the SWIFT system. They're working with the Chinese for the BRICS Development Fund and the BRICS Monetary Fund and the BRICS Central Bank. All of this appears to be, if not coming together to solution and some type of major event in 2015, it certainly appears to have been accelerated by events in 2014. As we move forward, do you see this the same way? Are we headed toward the death, ultimate death of the dollar, a full? Do you see this in 2015?
I see several rivers converging. And they're all for wreckage. I know people think that I go on and on like a crazy man about breakdown, but the dollar rising is precisely that. It's systemic breakdown. You got entire nations of their individual financial entities, corporations, etc. They're hunkering down into the dollar because their own currencies are in trouble, because they, as nations, cannot print money to cover their debt like right. The U.S. does.
Right.
So the nation that prints the money is seeing the benefit in their currency, only vis-a-vis their currency. The dollar is rising because it's dying. The whole system is breaking. You have all these reports about the dollar being strong and crude oil falling in price. Crude oil is not falling in price. The dollar's dying. I mean, sure, in nominal terms, the crude oil price is going down. Yes, sure, you can't argue that. But what is really going on? Don't focus on the numbers and the price. Focus on the dynamics that are pushing it down. You got lower demand, and you've got a broken petrodollar system. This broken system is universal. It's not just the oil price. It's financial markets. The stock market's going up. It's crazy. It's not reflecting value. It's not reflecting profitability. These S&P prices are going up. The bond principal for the treasuries are going up.
Right.
All these things are going up in value because they're being fed on the paper mache side, the paper funnels coming from the Fed and the Bank of England and the Swiss National Bank and the Euro Central Bank and the Bank of Japan, but not the Bundesbank. Okay, the Bundesbank is going to lead a rebellion. I think they're doing it in secrecy because they don't want a tax. They don't want another chemical plant blowing up like in Bremen. You know, that was declared to be accidental. But again, it was the Western press that said it was accidental. 80% of the important stories out of the Western press are lies. And 80% of the stories off the internet about the global financial situation, 80% of them are true. So you've got 20% truth coming from the major press, and you got 20% fabrication, fantasy stuff coming from the internet. I prefer the internet as sources of information. I'm using it far more lately, like the Russian Today, RT News,
right.
Like the BRICS Post. The BRICS Post is now having longer articles, notice. The Xinhua, Net out of China, XINHUA. You've got India Economic Times. Even Al Jazeera is more competent than Reuters and Bloomberg. Bloomberg puts out trash articles. But we're getting this this confluence of the disastrous rivers. And it's going to force the Russian and Chinese hands to hurry up and come up with their alternative. And I think the first move is going to be a follow-on for all the different Chinese swap facilities. You've got these RMB facilities. Like, the first one was with Brazil in 2006.
Yeah,
it's been
yeah.
renewed. They've got RMB facilities now with London.
All over, yeah.
Germany, we got a very big, wide one with Australia. They're not dealing in dollars at all in their bilateral trade. You got about 23 different nations, some of them minor, but many major, that have RMB swap facilities. That's for conducting trade outside the dollar. I look at them as big stepping stones to avoid the dollar, or, once there are enough of them, sufficient number of pylons on a parallel plane to put an entire platform of non-dollar trade settlement, namely gold trade notes. That's what all this systemic breakdown with the rising dollar and falling oil price. The falling oil price is doing far more damage to the U.S. economy than it is to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
We're eliminating the entire shale industry. It's going to be totally dark in a month or two.
Yep.
Completely shut down. That is the marginal employer and the marginal producer in the economy. It's going to be shut down. Then you're going to have a subprime shale bond failure that's going to catch fire across the U.S. bond industry.
Yep.
It's all going to force Russia and China and the BRICS nations. There's something like 140 BRICS alliance nations.
Okay. Right.
So, Jim, where we left off, we were talking about the yuan swap facilities that have been set up with almost every country in the globe, beginning with Brazil in 2006, and how the culmination of all those efforts is coming.
Yes, it's like a preliminary stage of evading and circumventing the dollar. The dollar is toxic, so nations that deal with it and store it in their banks end up with broken banking systems because it's toxic reserves. It wrecks the whole system. It's like having bad blood in your body. You got to get rid of the bad blood before you can fix your organs, because it's an ongoing source. And what the Eurasian trade zone, led by the BRICS with Russia and China at the lead, what they're going to do is they're going to work toward a gold trade note system for trade. It's going to be letters of credit that are gold trade notes. The U.S. has pretty much blocked all attempts to return to the gold standard through currency means. We're not going to be able to see, well, here's the gold-backed currency, the dollar's going to be gold-backed, it's all going to be good, and all these nations are returning to the gold standard via Forex, and we're going to have healthy currencies again. No, we're going to have paper, crap, toxic currencies until the whole system breaks, or until the Eastern nations work around. And instead of coming up with a currency solution for the gold standard, they come up with a trade solution for the gold standard. So they're going to come up with these gold trade notes. Countries that wish to participate must post gold in order to get the letters of credit for use in bilateral trade. Lots and lots of nations with bilateral trade. And then all these nations that participate in the new system are going to realize we don't need our treasury bonds anymore. They're only causing problems.
Right.
So you're going to get a backdoor. This is the Russian-Chinese plan. Backdoor to reinstall the gold as standard in trade. When that happens, the dollar will be totally thrown out the door. It'll be discarded into a dumpster. No one will want it. In other words, the U.S. economy will not be able to import items and pay with treasuries. It won't be wanted. The U.S. will not be able to come up with the gold trade notes to facilitate trade, to get the letters of credit that actually work. The U.S. has set itself up for systemic failure by getting rid of its industry through outsourcing. Now, all the nations that have the industry that supply the U.S. economy are participating in the BRICS alliance and the Eurasian trade zone, and they're lined up with this gold trade note system. So Russia and China have set up a new SWIFT banking system. They're setting up a new gold trade note system for letters of credit, and they've got their own debt rating services that are going to declare the U.S. government toxic junk bonds. And also, they've got their own credit card. They don't need Visa and MasterCard and American Express in China and Russia. They have UnionPay. I got news for people. There are more people in the world, more customers using UnionPay than MasterCard. I mean, this is game over.
Is that, and as we approach now, and we're on the doorstep of 2015, I mean, not to try to put a timeline on this, but it certainly seems as if 2014 accelerated this final demise of the dollar.
Yes, it galvanized all the nations to start working together in order to have the non-dollar solution. They need a non-dollar solution. And I think, you know, if the U.S. is running up the dollar and causing problems, I think they're seeing that they've lost control, and now they're turning on the propaganda engines to say that we're trying to harm Russia. Well, they're not harming Russia. Russia is in very solid shape. And, you know, if anything, they're having to use some of their reserves to guarantee some of the import supply lines. Well, gee, the U.S. doesn't have any reserves. So how does that make the U.S. better than Russia,
right,
if Russia has more? I'm sorry. Russia has more reserve, but they're running down their reserves a little bit. The U.S. is running up their multi-trillion dollar debts. The U.S. is going to qualify as a third world nation and a rogue nation. And I think we're going to start seeing Russia as the leader in Europe. I mean, this death stroke of saying no more energy supply or gas supply to European nations that harbor and host CIA torture facility centers. This is a brilliant stroke. And I can't say enough about the positive strategy for Russia. They're working toward gold standard platforms. The dollar is the problem. I don't care if it's going up in value. I don't care. Value relative to what?
Right.
The dollar is dying. And I said this 3 years ago. Evidence of the final stage would be the dollar rising, rising, then rising some more before it dies. It vanishes. Foreigners are not going to supply the U.S. economy with dollars soon. And that's when the U.S. is going to be in a tremendous quandary. They must come up with gold to make a gold-backed currency, or they fall into the third world. And I think they're going to come up with a fake, a artificially gold-backed currency, and they're going to be forced into an internationally approved audit, and they're going to fail the audit. This deep storage gold that shows up on U.S. government ledgers all the time in their accounting is bull. Shit.
I think we all feel that way.
It's nothing. It's loaded with evergreen contracts from Barrick. It's loaded with ownership rights on Nevada and Colorado and Alaskan properties. It's unmined gold, and that does not qualify to back up a gold-backed currency. Does not qualify. So I've been asking direct questions to my best sources. Will the Eastern ancient families, the established, like just think of them as 20 Rockefeller families that have been around for 1,000 years. China's awakening, and these families are taking control. I think they provided us with President Xi, the new Chinese president. They're his man. I think these nations, I asked the question rather, will these nations, will these families supply 10,000 tons of gold to the United States so they can have a legitimate currency? Because they don't want the U.S. economy to go to hell in a handbasket. They want it to be part of the global economy. They want exports to the United States. It's a big part of their economic equation. And the answer I keep getting back is no, under the current regime, no, under the current system and people operating the U.S. government, there will be no gold lease to the United States government. So I ask another question. Will the robbers, the thieves, those who pilfered Fort Knox, namely Bush, Clinton, and Rubin, will they be forced to reproduce and repatriate the U.S. gold? And I have not gotten an answer. Hmm. I think they used it for other purposes that I don't want to get into. It has to do with a lot of weird things like underground cities. And I don't want to get into that here. It's a weird topic to just drop on the table and not go further with. But I believe that most of the U.S. gold went into the gold market and financed a lot of secret projects for Langley. Langley is not a hedge fund. Langley is a city in Virginia where the headquarters of the Central Intelligence Agency are located. They have lots and lots and lots and lots of projects. And they also have narcotics money that helps fund their projects. So they have stolen U.S. gold, but that's only $500 billion worth of gold. They've got more than that every single year from Afghanistan heroin.
And the other stuff, yeah.
Right. So this is going to be the year things break down in noticeable ways. And the whole world comes to openly stated realization, we must quickly move away from the dollar.
Well, it certainly seems, I agree with you. I mean, you can see all of these events coming together. Probably no more valuable time than ever. How's this for a segue? No more valuable time than ever to be a subscriber to the Hat Trick Letter. So as we wrap, just take a second and tell everybody how they can find your work and how they can subscribe to the Hat Trick Letter.
People need to get out of the dollar system before they lose a significant slice of their savings and even life savings. That means your CDs in the banks are not safe. Your stock account is not safe. And your accounts, if you're wealthier with your, you know, special corporate bonds, they are not safe in the dollar. You need to get the money out of dollar-denominated accounts and assets. And I talk a lot about various things in my newsletter. It comes in two parts. You find it on www.goldenjackass.com. There's a lot of free information on the website, free articles, public domain articles. There are also a number. I have far more interviews in the last 2 years than I ever had before. It's because people realize I have 80, 90% correct forecast rate. And compare that with the 20 and 30% for Wall Street economists. And compare that with even the forecast for, you know, some clowns like the shill Jim Rickards. He's talking about a super sovereign SDR out of the International Monetary Fund. It's not going to happen. The solutions are not going to come out of the International Monetary Fund. If anything, that whole agency would be taken over by China or shut down, because China's building other rivalry agencies. And I talk about it in the Hat Trick Letter, which comes in two parts, the Money War Report and the Golden Currency Report. Those two reports appear each month. It's a labor of love. It's never boring. It is stressful. It is demanding. But it's very satisfying, the most satisfying job I've ever had in my life.
And people subscribe by going to goldenjackass.com, correct?
Yes, and you'll find lots of free material, but you also see a big green button that says subscribe. There's also another button. It's more like a billboard, a small billboard, it says correct forecasts.
Oh, yeah.
I need to update that because there are several new correct forecasts that have – I'm sorry, several older forecasts that have now recently come true.
Exactly.
I made a forecast in March or so that Russia is going to demand non-dollar payments for a lot of their trade, and that happened.
Yep.
That was an easy one.
Well, but still –
But still, yeah, the most important forecasts that I've had correct in the last several years were that when we went to 0% in 2009, I said we would stay there forever.
And so far, you are 100% correct.
Right. And when we had QE, the hypermonetary inflation to cover the U.S. government debt and more, when that came in 2011, we were told otherwise, but I said it'll be forever. And now we're getting lies that they stopped, but the same week we commandeered and seized the Japanese $1.2 trillion. That covers a year.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we're still doing bond monetization. I think we're covering a lot of rotten crap. The reason I think they announced QE was over is that I believe all the Wall Street toxic bonds had been redeemed. They have not redeemed the foreign-held treasury bonds. So as they get dumped, the Fed is going to be forced to cover them.
Yep.
More QE.
Yeah.
When the Russians and Chinese go about their $300 billion holy grail construction of pipelines for the next 30 years, and the British Petroleum subsidiary is bought out by the Russians – TK something or other in Russia, third biggest oil company, they're going to be paid in treasury bonds. So Russia is discharging their treasury bonds while China is buying up all kinds of property in Africa. I mean, golly. And don't believe for a minute, people out there, the official gold data, China has 1,000 tons.
Yeah,
Russia
right.
has a little over 1,000 tons. No, Russia and China each have over 20,000 tons. Don't believe that the U.S. has 8,500 tons. They have 0 tons. They're robbing the GLD fund, which is what morons invest in thinking they own gold.
Right.
They're not hedging against anything. They're buying crap. They're buying a
piece of paper.
They're buying a toilet paper with a really neat writing on it.
Right, exactly.
And J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs are robbing it blind to give gold to meet the COMEX obligations and other obligations. So they're running out of gold, and the game is coming to an end in 2015. I think we're going to – and people are misquoting me. I have not said the system will fracture and break and end the game in mid-February. I have not said that. I have said the Chinese New Year is mid-February. Look for a lot of aggravated pressures and evidence of the system breaking by February going into March. More evidence of the system breaking. We're already seeing evidence of the system breaking with the rising dollar and the falling oil price. We're going to get a lot more like that.
That sounds like about the right time for us to get back together and visit again, Jim.
Well, yeah, I don't know when it'll be, maybe around President's Weekend in mid-February or St. Patrick's Day in mid-March. Well, but we're going to see some very big evidence. It could come with a big rise in the gold price, but it could also be a European phenomenon where many nations in Europe, led by the Dutch, Austrians, and Germans, announce that they no longer want to engage in exclusive dollar trade.
Right, right.
And are moving toward the Eurasian trade zone standard of the BRICS currency, which will not just be gold-backed. It will be silver-backed. The rise in the silver price coming will be double or more the rise in the gold price.
Jim, with all of our technical difficulties, I think we'll just have to leave it there and pick it up the next time you get a chance to stop by Turdville. Thank you again for all of your time today. And thanks again for all that you do. Again, I want to encourage everybody to check out goldenjackass.com and the Hat Trick Letter. Very important stuff as we head into 2015. Again, thank you, Jim, for your time. And we'll see what the new year brings. Have a great New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, everyone.